Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No, far better looking than Ricardo Ball. Well, maybe not. He's got better hair than I have. He's got the rock star look. He wouldn't look out of place in Metallica. Me, I'm probably more of a boy band look. Nah, Guns N' Roses, that's me. Anyway, we are talking all things Chiefs. This is Chiefs Man Up. We are talking Super Rugby for the final time this year. Now, he's currently down there in the central South Island. Lakefront, I understand, is All Black great. One of the Chiefs' original pioneers, the great Ian Jones, joins us. Carmo, welcome.
Yeah, kia ora, Watto. No, Lake Pukaki at the moment. Just went on one of the great New Zealand short walks today, the Hooker Valley Walk, in glorious conditions. Just stunning. Stunning to be around the grandeur of the South Island. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely stunning, stunning part of the world. I do encourage people to get down there if they haven't travelled through that part of the country, certainly if you live in the North Island. Well, Carmo, as always, when you have a final, there's always going to be a discussion. There's always going to be plenty of interest around the referee. But when it's all said and done, in 10 years from now, history will just remember the Crusaders winning their seventh straight, Chiefs getting beaten in the finish by 25 points to 20. What's your take on it?
Oh, I was gutted. Absolutely ripped and broken when the Chiefs lost. They had a fantastic season. You know, very, very proud of the whole team to go all the way to the final. That would have been one of their goals, to secure a home final. Absolutely fantastic. We would have taken that at the start of the season and have the opportunity to win a super final at home. It was there for the taking. But in the end of the day, you have to admire those Crusaders. The discipline, the composure. You talked about some of those big decisions. They controlled all those big decisions, didn't allow the referee to influence their outcome. You do admire them, but shit. I was gutted. Like the rest of the people, no doubt, listening to this and supporting our team.
Do you have to lose one to win one? Will they be better for this now? Or is that one of those sort of romantic sort of notions that you find in some sort of motivational book?
Yeah, I think they've lost a few tough games in the last couple of 3 years to kind of build up to this. I thought they're in a really good space to win it. They had great experience. They've had some innovation. They've had some young players really step up this year. I don't think they could have done. Yeah, we'll talk about discipline. We'll get into that in some of those moments. But, mate, to be honest, Watto, apart from, really disappointing having the guys yellow carded, but the guys played as well as they could. Their physicality at the breakdown, I thought, matched the intensity of the Crusaders. Their innovation, their field position, I thought, matched everything of the Crusaders. And it could have gone, honestly, either way. So both teams were deserving to win that final. Crusaders, with their composure, with their calmness, some of their big leaders, the Sam Whitelocks, Cody Taylors of the world, being so composed, ruthless, relentless, got there in the end. But honestly, mate, it could have gone either way. So it was on the knife edge all the way through.
Yeah, Kama, when you're sitting there, this game at a far more intricate level than any of us. Was there anything that you were sitting there wishing the Chiefs were going to be doing differently tactically? Like I had Justin on the other day, and he was saying that he was surprised that Brad Weber didn't kick a lot from the base of the scrum. And he's clearly seen things through the eyes of a halfback. Was there anything there that you felt the Chiefs could have done just a little bit better or differently?
No, to be honest, I couldn't. As I mentioned, I thought they played. The yellow cards clearly had a huge influence and some of those marginal calls had a huge influence. But no, I was really proud of the way I thought. It hadn't always been a strength of ours, but I thought our exits from kickoffs were really good. If we'd had our time again, but let's remember, up against one of the great line-out exponents of the world and Sam White. Like, I thought our lineouts were poor. If they had those again, I think could have been more dominant there. But I love the way we were competing at the breakdown. I love the way we're getting over the ball. I love the way we were throwing numbers. And it was brutal, Watto, at that breakdown. So I don't think we could have done much more there. You know, we had been up into this final and continue on the final, defending those line-out drives close to the line brilliantly against the Reds, against the Brumbies. And it was only when we were down Jacobson on one occasion, Sam Cane on the other, that we conceded tries in that department. So, you know, we needed to keep our players on there, but I also wanted our players to play with that level of intensity, pushing the boundaries. And that's what they did. So I'm really proud of them for that.
There is a bit of a perception out there, maybe off the back of the Reds game and then off the back of the Brumbies game, that perhaps they'd passed their peak, but that perhaps the performance was just starting to angle down on the curve rather than going up, when a lot of people felt that the Crusaders were just hitting their form at the right time. Is there any merit in that, or are we not giving the Reds and the Brumbies enough credit for having done their homework and the fact that they had 11, 12, 13 rounds to study 13 tapes and start to work out how you beat this wonderful side?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were going on the downward curve, because look at the level of intensity that we matched, I thought, against the Crusaders. And comes down to, once again, those little moments that will forever rue, you know. I mean, all fans watching it. And, mate, we don't want to keep on going on about these head clashes type things, but, I mean, they just gut me. They really do. You know, Ben O'Keefe, referee, was fine with the Lemmett Brown tackle. No problems whatsoever. And then, you know, gets called back. And those kind of marginal things have a huge impact. You know, I kind of sit there just before half time, and you wonder how, in this modern rugby where the TMO was meant to kind of be there for those whoopsie moments where we all see them blatantly and the referee doesn't, allows this board pass to go ahead. And people are saying, well, they didn't immediately score off that, but it has a huge influence on field position, momentum, all of those things. So indirectly, they did score from that forward pass because the whole game changes. So those are kind of moments that kind of wind me up, but that's not taking anything also away from the Crusaders, because one of the things the Crusaders did, I thought brilliantly, and this is down to that composure. We also say this since we've all been playing the game of rugby, they took the referee out of the equation. When you make the referee make a decision, you have to wear it rightly or wrongly. Crusaders had their composure, had their discipline, kept some patience about them, that they weren't put in that situation. We were on three occasions, or maybe more, and we have to wear that.
Mm. You are listening to Chiefs Mana, Mark Watson alongside of me, All Black great Ian Jones. We'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll get Camo to look at how things might look in 2024, and we'll get him to maybe hand out some player awards, maybe some brick bats and some bouquets. We'll do that next. Celebrating a remarkable season for the Chiefs, just come up slightly short, didn't quite get the job done in that final, losing 25 points to 20. All Black great, live from Lake Pukaki in the South Island, joins us, or is my co-host this half an hour. Carmo, in your opinion, based on this, from what your understanding is, the nucleus of this side will be back in 2024?
100%, Watto, would be fantastic. New blood will need to come in. And think about, I mean, some of the greats that were leaving, you know, Brodie Retallick, the Brad Webbers of the world, with the greatest respect to those men, and it's great respect to any legend who are leaving their franchise, they are replaceable. All New Zealand great players are replaceable, regardless of what team you play for. History will tell us that. We all, you know, we'll celebrate these guys, and we should, the contribution they've made to this franchise. But they will be replaced. Brodie Retallick will be replaced by a Josh Lord, for instance, who will now have to step up and take that mantle. You know, the Brad Webber, whose contribution to the Chiefs is unparalleled, his passion for this club has been unparalleled. But we've got two young halfbacks. There'll be others that will raise their heads during the NPC. They will replace these men. So, yep, absolutely the nucleus. Look at the nucleus of the loose forward trio with Sam Kane still there. Luke. Simon Penny-Finau still there. Luke Jacobson still there. We got up front, you know, can build a front row around Samisoni, no problems whatsoever. I wouldn't mind seeing another really confrontational prop, loose head, tight head. It doesn't really worry me, but I think we could look pretty strongly at building someone to complement Samisoni. I mean, I love Ollie Norris coming off the bench and what he brings, but maybe that's an area we'll work pretty hard to replace. But our back line, pretty much intact, and will be very strong.
It's not a bad back three, is it? Nino Satoru, Stevenson, Narewa. You know, arguably, I mean, if it wasn't New Zealand, that would be a back three that would be good enough for any other international side in the world.
Yep, so wonderful basis. And the more to the point, coaching staff will stay intact. So, that's wonderful as well. And more importantly, Watto, our great supporters, will stay there for another year. And they really did. I mean, that some of the crowds that we had in Hamilton at Rugby Park was awesome. Great to be part of. Great to see on TV. And really become a feature, I thought, of this Chiefs team all the way through. Support of the crowd, so thank you very much.
Yeah, I think what's also just really, really pleasing too, and we didn't see a lot of him until later in the season, but it's really nice that Josh Iwani started to come back into form. You know, he's played just that one test for the All Blacks, moved up from the Highlanders, again being decimated a little bit by injury. But boy, what another wonderful player if you do at some point get some injury and you know, you're looking for that next first 5-8.
Mate, I've been going on it bloody every weekend, so, and I may be out of sync with everyone else, but yeah, I think Josh Iwani said Bryn Gatland was a big loss, and I'd love to have brought Josh Iwani on maybe a little 10 minutes earlier than he did, because I really think that double playmaker role, Iwani, Dave McKenzie dropping to that left wing, he went fullback in the weekend, but left wing or back there somewhere, can just kind of give us a point of difference in that last 30 minutes of a game. And for whatever reason, Clayton kind of kept Josh on the bench for an extra 10 minutes than he had done in other games, I noticed. But I really do love it when Dave McKenzie, who has been brilliant, no doubt about that, at first 5-8, but brilliant when we get fast turnover ball more than anything. But he's brilliant when he can find those mismatches, go a little bit wider. Exactly the same as what we did 10 years ago when Cruden went on that run, 2012, 2013, was it, when we won championships. He used to pop out outside Sunnybill and cause havoc. And I think McKenzie, Stevenson, they can all do the same. So, yep, Josh Iwani made an impact every time he came on. But that double playmaker once more. But, I mean, really the foundation this year and I thought the intensity once more in the final was laid by the foundation of the tight five. Brilliant tight five. You know, once more, Samisoni strong. He looked fit. As I said, maybe another prop to add to that mix who will complement each other. Loose foot, the locks, brilliant. And we'll have good locks next year. And a loose forward trio who may be looking for maybe another athlete on the blindside flank. And once more, someone will step up during the NPC season.
Okay, Camo, let's maybe hand out a few awards then. So, your Chiefs Forward of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that's I've been thinking a lot about that.
I'm going to give you mine, but I'll let you give me yours first.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for a guy I've been mighty impressed with every game because he set the tone, set the defensive tone, really, and that's Luke Jacobson, the number eight. I just thought every time he played, and particularly played in the eight position, they were just, his ball-carrying ability was strong. He's just a solid, hard-nosed, typical Mulu athlete. And I love that about him. But defensively, he was just set that standard. And when he was at defensive line, we were pretty damn hard to stop. And just showed, you know, when unfortunately he was off for 10 minutes on the weekend, we conceded some points. So, you know, with plenty of players, including Sam Kane, including Brodie Retallick, including Samisoni Takahau, who could be well up there for the award, I'm going for Luke Jacobson.
Yes, snap. So he was my pick as well. And I think it's just been a remarkable season for him. I think Sam Kane too's really thrived in this team this year and maybe sort of put a few fears to rest. You know, he's always been one of those players that people haven't always been convinced about an all-black jersey. Luke Jacobson, I think, you know, he hasn't had, it's always been injury that's maybe just prevented that consistency. But in this Chiefs environment, both have stood up and both have said, hey, look, we are genuinely world-class.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think this is probably quite an easy one, but your overall back of the year.
Yeah, well, I don't know how easy, because there's been plenty of heroes out there. I mean, I loved Amoni Naroa, the way he has played, his energy that he brings on the wing. I thought he was a wonderful, got to say wonderful on the final, and been rewarded, of course, with an All Black call-up, which is brilliant. Dame McKenzie, after a year away last year, came back, cemented that 10 jersey. That's where he wants to be. That's where he feels clearly comfortable, and he can make the biggest impact on the team. But for me personally, and you have to be innovative in this modern game, the Chiefs had to bring something different to the party. And with something different and the free license, I guess, that they gave Sean Stevenson, his confidence, his ability to, I guess, team up and partner up with Dame McKenzie. Certainly when Damien was allowed to go a little bit wider out than first receiver. Sean's step, Sean's brilliance under the high ball, his speed, and contrary to what All Black coach Ian Foster thinks, his defensive work, which is rock solid. I think every Chiefs fan will tell you that Shooter is as strong at the back than any other player out there, and scores tries, Watto, that not many other players and 15s that you think in this country would be able to score. Scores them with his speed more than anything, but also scores them with his beautiful ability to change his line. So for me, Sean Stevenson was my back of the year.
Okay, now this one here, and you might not necessarily
who
have...
Who'd you go for?
Oh, no, I went Sean Stevenson every day of the week. Yeah, no doubt here. And even off the back of that final, I just sit there and scratch my head around how Ian Foster's only got this guy as injury cover and can go and pick Caleb Clark, and who I think is defensively woeful, and try and find some way of leaving Stevenson out. It's just mind-boggling, mate. Absolutely mind-boggling. But we'll leave that one there. Look, Camo, I've got three nominees here for Breakout Player of the Year, and some might argue that, well, they've been around longer than a year, but I've got Sammy Pini Finau. I've gone with Rameka Poihepi, and also Rates, Cortez. I'm just having my little moment of hesitancy there. Yeah, so Ratama Cortez, Rameka Poihepi, or do we go with Finau? Who is your breakout player of the year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it makes us fairly, I'm really looking forward to the midfield pairings next year, isn't we? You know, I know Leonard Brown, is he going to be around? I'm not sure, but we are going to have solid young midfield partnership next year, which is really exciting. We've all been given some Super Rugby experience. They'll all be hungry to kind of get back. And these things, you asked whether you need to lose a final to win a final. Well, whilst I don't agree with that whatsoever, there will be a fire burning inside their bellies, like there's a fire burning inside of all the supporters of the Chiefs' bellies as well, wanting our guys to kind of get back into action, stay injury-free during the All Blacks and NBC campaigns, and get back on board with the Chiefs for next year. So the midfield, I think, will be like that. But Samapini Finau, he's been a developing athlete for a long, long time. Be given regular game time in that sixth jersey to form a partnership with Jacobson. The Sam Kane has been brilliant, to be rewarded with an All Black call-up for his athleticism, one thing, physicality, a second thing, and a sheer energy, speed, and enjoyment that he brings to the game for a third thing, I think, which is why his call-up for the All Blacks. I'd go for Sammy Finau. Can't wait for him to learn even more in the All Black camp, get that kind of desire to go, not just be an All Black, but be a test All Black, but to be a great All Black. That's his pathway. And to get that pathway, he needs another solid campaign next year for the Chiefs. So, yep, he was my breakout Chief of the Year, Simopeni Fenau.
Yeah, I've gone with Rameka Poihipi. I just think he was brilliant at a time when Anton Lennett-Brown, Nankervell and stuff weren't available, and then that ability to also step in and play at first five when asked. But, yeah, look, just two or three absolutely wonderful, wonderful players. Kamo, I just want to touch again now on Brodie Retallick. He's heading off to Japan. Yourself excluded, of course. Is he arguably the greatest player that's ever played for the Chiefs? Is he the Colin Meads of this team?
Well, it's very, very hard to say that in this era. He's been brilliant. I mean, you look at what Liam Messam's done
for
this team
and
really building up what Chiefs Mana is all about. I mean, you know, fantastic. And we, look, I've never, ever once compared players from any era, but Brodie Retallick's contribution to the side. I think the contribution, not only what we see on game day, which is immense, for 80 minutes, the big guy just absolutely goes, but I'm sure his contribution, you know, the 7 days of the week and what the Josh Lords of the world can learn from a Brodie Retallick, to see this guy go about his work, bring that kind of professionalism and physicality and desire every day at training. I think that's what we've got the best out of Brodie Retallick. And so your great players, what we see on Saturday, are brilliant, Watto, but your great players, you know, the Brodie Retallicks, the Brad Webbards, they do that every day at training. They set a level every day at training, and young guys need to replicate the intensity that they bring to training. So thank you for what he's done, but he'll be sorely missed.
Kamo, it's been a privilege and a pleasure in 2023, my good man. Thank you for your contributions on all things Chiefs Mana and Super Rugby.
Yep, thanks very much, Watto. Just finally, hey, well done to the fans. Be proud of our team. Look forward to 24.
I expect you to go swimming in Lake Pupaki. I'm having a terrible night with my pronunciation. Anyway, we'll leave it there.